Hello again, it's Stuart and Jody here. Welcome to our time of worship together. We welcome all the regular members and attenders at Carey Baptist, but whoever's listening online, it's good to have you with us. Let us start by commending this time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we may be in our homes and feel isolated and disconnected from each other, but you are with each one of us, and by your Spirit you join us and connect us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe in and through the words that are said, the words of Scripture, and my reflections and meditations and prayers, that you would minister to us, that you would touch our hearts and our minds and replenish us and renew us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jody is now going to come and read our scripture passage, which is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then verses 18 to 23. So Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by a lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this parable of the sower, and we pray that your word would find a welcome in the soil and the hearts of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe through your scripture and breathe through what I say to minister to us when we're listening online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is your soil like? Imagine you are a field, or your heart is like a field. Are you hard like the well-trodden path, where the seed cannot penetrate the earth and the birds come along and eat it up because it's so hard that the seed cannot enter and penetrate into the soil to grow? Now, if you're the scrupulous type, you might be worrying about being hard soil. Am I hard soil? Am I hard-hearted? Then if you're thinking like this, then don't worry. Because if you're really hard-hearted, you wouldn't care less in the first place. And the sign of your worry about whether you're hard-hearted or not proves that you're not hard-hearted. So give yourself a break and cut yourself some slack. But we can become hardened. We can become cynical, dismissive, judgmental, and then it becomes harder for the seed of God's word to take root in our lives. It's a danger we all face, becoming cynical, becoming dismissive, becoming judgmental. How can we soften our hearts, soften up the soil of our hearts and our lives to make it more open to the seed taking root within us? To soften our hearts, perhaps in these days we need tears to cry over our own sins and the sins of a wider society, and to cry about the anguish and the turmoil that we're going through at these times. And the Holy Spirit can take our anguish and our pain and our tears and plow up the ground. And maybe in these difficult circumstances, it feels like the ground is being dug up. We're hard ground, and the plow is going in, or the spade is going in and lifting up the hard soil. This pain that we're going through at the moment, pain of illness or the coronavirus that we're going through, the death of family and friends, which has disturbed us and ripped up the soil. Or there might be worries about unemployment, as many people are getting made redundant, or they're not sure about whether after the furlough period their jobs will still be there. Or it can be the breakdown of relationships at this time that leaves our soil exposed to God. And if we're going through a hard time, we can use this opportunity to draw us closer to God, because it can also do the opposite. It can draw us and drive us further apart from God. So if you are going through a difficult time, if it does feel like the soil is being sort of plowed up in your life, it's also an opportunity in which God can sow the seed of his word in your life. Or is your soil shallow or rocky? Does it have no depth, no root? It talks about in verse 21, since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall quickly away. So it may be that our soil is shallow, it has no depth and has no roots. And in that case, we need to go deeper, dig deeper. We need to dig deeper into God in prayer, spending time in meditation and intercession. We need to dig deeper into God's word, spending time meditating upon God's word, that it can speak to us and overcome our shallowness and lack of depth. And this requires discipline. It requires struggle and perseverance and suffering and commitment to come to God in prayer, to study his word, whether we feel like it or not, to live out our Christian lives, no matter how our emotions feel at the time. Or is your soil thorny, full of weeds that choke the word, the weeds of worry, anxiety, or the deceitfulness of wealth? In verse 22, it said, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So maybe the weeds that are appearing in our lives are worry and anxiety about the situations that we find ourselves in, or the deceitfulness of wealth, looking to money and to consumer items and things and objects and possessions to satisfy us. But ultimately, these things can get in the way of our relationship with God. We live in a very time full of worry and anxiety. I don't know about you, but I often worry and I feel anxious about the situation, and it's easy to focus too much on the problems we face and not on God. That's a real danger. We look at the problems about getting the church ready and open and clean and safe as possible to be able to welcome people into worship. You think of all the practical things that have to be done. And that's very difficult for someone like myself. I'm not the most practical person, as Jody would tell you. And I can feel overwhelmed by all the things that need to be done. And then there's worry and anxieties about finances. Maybe individually you're worried about your finances. Maybe your work situation is difficult and you have worries about that. And certainly as a church, we worry about our finances. Well, some of us do. And I'm sure Rosie, the treasurer, worries a bit as well, because we've not been gathering together. So the offerings haven't been as regular or as large as they would usually be. And as we look into the new year, as we make budgets and projections for the future, we know that there will be and likely to be a big deficit. And that causes worries about our long-term sustainability. It's easy to worry about these things. There's plenty to worry about. But in these times, we need to turn to God and know that if we look to him, he will provide for our needs. If we trust in him, then he will supply what we need to continue to be a community which reaches out with his love and with his truth in this place. Or are we like the good soil, who by hearing and understanding produce a crop in verse 23? But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop. So he hears the word and he understands it, and he produces a crop by his action, by his obedience. Talks about a bumper crop, 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold, still big crops, many times what was originally sown. This is what we aspire to be. We aspire to be fruitful ground in which the word takes root in our lives, and we sow that word in other people's lives where it bears fruit in their lives. So how does your soil feel? Or how does your soul feel at this time? How do you feel internally, in your heart, in your being? Perhaps your soil feels a bit depleted, a bit overworked, overfarmed, in need of a Sabbath rest. In the Old Testament, they talked about the Jubilee year when there would be a rest for the land. In Leviticus 25, starting at verse 2 to verse 4, it says, "When you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows or itself, or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest." So the land needed a rest, and we often need a rest in order to be replenished. I'm very glad I had my sabbatical last year and not this year, because it wouldn't have been a very restful time to have had a sabbatical, a time of prayer and reflection and study. And I'm glad I had it last year, because it has sustained me and replenished me, and I'm still drawing on that. I don't know what I would be like now. It'd be even worse than I am at the moment if I hadn't had a sabbatical last year. So I give thanks to God for that. But all of us need times of Sabbath, of sabbatical, of rest. It's a question of good ecology. I'm not an ecologist, but you can exhaust the topsoil if it's overfarmed, and it needs compost, it needs nutrients. And so do we. We need to look after the soil of our lives, our hearts, water them with God's Spirit and God's Word, and feed them with good things by reflecting on the Bible and good books and good music and good art and good everything. And we have to ask ourselves, are we looking after our hearts in this season? What are we feeding ourselves? We might be feeding ourselves a lot of junk food at this time, and it might be not just junk food as regards physical food, but the things that we fill our lives with in this season. And have our hearts become hardened during this time? Have we become shallow? Are we full of weeds? And we need to be good stewards of our hearts. As it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's the NIV version. And the New Revised Standard Version likewise says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So what flows from our heart is essential to our well-being and our relationship with God. What do we give our hearts to? Do we give our hearts to things that aren't worthy of our hearts? To idols in different forms? To consumerism? To money? To prestige? To how others view us? Ultimately, it's only God who can fully satisfy our hearts. We all need a heart transplant. We need to be given a new heart, a heart of flesh within us. And only God can do that. And if God gives us that new heart transplant by filling us with the heart of Jesus and the love of Jesus, then we can face whatever the future holds. So may God renew our hearts with his love. Then whatever the difficulties and challenges we face in the coming weeks and months and years as we come out of this lockdown period, if our hearts are right, then we will be able to face it in the right spirit. If our hearts are softened by God's love, if we remove some of the weeds that have grown in our hearts, if we go deeper with God and get rid of some of the shallowness in our hearts, then we are more open to God's word being planted within our hearts that will bring a harvest in his time. And we will produce a bumper harvest in our lives, not the way we thought necessarily, but it will be way beyond our dreams, our hopes, and our imagining. So my prayer for myself and for you at this time, is that the hearts of our lives, the soil of our lives would be good soil, which we worked at, which we remain open to God, planting his seed, his word in our lives, that that may bear fruit in the coming days and weeks and months and years. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would plow up our hearts, make them responsive to your word, that these difficult circumstances and seasons that we're going through, that we would not use them to turn away embittered from you, that we would turn towards you at these times, that you would help us to go deeper with you. Forgive us when we're shallow. Help us to go deeper with you in prayer and in your word. And help us to pluck up the weeds and the things that choke our relationship with you. Forgive us when we feed ourselves on junk food, feed our hearts and minds with shallow programs and entertainments that don't satisfy us deeply. Forgive us when we trust in the deceitfulness of wealth and money and not in you as our provider. And we pray that you would make our hearts, through your Holy Spirit, good hearts, good soil in which your word can take root and produce a bumper harvest, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dave Taylor, one of our church members, is now going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Lord God, you are the Father of all people, and we come before you today with our prayers, knowing that you hear us. We live through an extraordinary and difficult time for our world, for our country, for our church and community, our families and ourselves. But we know that in the storms that rage, you are our solid rock and our foundation, and we trust in you. Father, we remember first all those that are grieving loved ones today, lost to the coronavirus pandemic or other causes. We weep together with those that weep, and we pray for your comforting hand upon them, for daughters and sons, mothers and fathers, friends and colleagues. May each in their own way find what they need, and know that when all is dark, you offer light and peace and hope. Lord, we pray for the government of this country and governments around the world. The pandemic is not over, and the economic fallout, which will affect so many lives, is only just starting. The risk from the virus seems to be receding, but as the lockdown eases, we are entering a time of even more uncertainty, with more conflict and more voices clamouring to be heard. Lord, we pray that you will give our leaders wisdom and judgment to choose the right path, that they will govern with skill and integrity and understanding, supporting those in need and always seeking to do right. Lord, we thank you for all those that during the crisis have continued to work and provide everything that we need, from nurses and doctors in hospitals to shop workers and delivery drivers to neighbours and friends that have sought out those in need and offered help. We have seen so many acts of kindness which have been an inspiration and an example, and we know bring joy to your heart. Lord, help us to love one another more, not just in crisis, but every day. Lord, we pray for our church and community here in Malton. It has been difficult not to be able to meet with family and friends, Christian brothers and sisters, or to worship and pray together. As the COVID-19 guidance is relaxed, we look forward to once again being able to meet for worship, but we recognise how difficult this will be. We pray for guidance and wisdom, particularly for our church leaders, as they consider this issue during the coming week. Lord, remember at this time all those in our fellowship and the wider church family that are going through difficult times. We particularly remember the family and friends of Mick Carroll as they grieve his passing. Dear Lord, draw close to them. Let them know your comfort and peace and the sure knowledge that he is now at peace with you. Finally, Father, we come before you as your children, needing your forgiveness, your comfort, your guidance and your love. We know that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that you know what we need before we ask. But Father, there are so many problems, so many difficulties. Health, school, relationships, money, jobs. We can often not see a way forward. Help us in those difficult times to lean on you, and to know that whether we can see it or not, all things work together for good. Go before us this week. Protect us, guide us, put your loving arms around us, whether in our homes, at work, with our families. Lord, be with each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. I'll close now with a blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. So thank you for joining us online. Hopefully we'll catch up with you next week. Go well. And God bless.